Thanks very much. Lovely to be with you here this morning. I have to give other greetings as well. Not only were my uncle and aunt in this assembly for many years, David and Jeanette Wilson, Beth's sister fellowshipped here for a number of years, probably going back about 20 years, Ellen Henderson, now Ellen Swaim, and her mom and dad spent a couple of winters here, I think, while they were building their house up in New Hampshire as well. So we've had connections on and off with the chapel here for a number of years. I'm in two minds which way to go. Let me read a few verses from Scripture first. Actually, I'm going to read a chapter from Philippians chapter 1. I'll read that first. I was in two minds whether to just bring a word from Scripture or whether to do the report, but I was encouraged to show our slides, so we'll try and combine the two together here and let you know a little bit about what we're involved in. But this is a passage that I've been thinking of, particularly as we've been traveling and visiting with various assemblies. It's been an encouragement to me to think about the involvement that we have with one another. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul is writing from prison, and he says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." And we trust that God will bless his word. I'll just call your attention to three phrases that appear in that passage. In verse 5, it talks about your fellowship in the gospel. In verse 12, he speaks about the furtherance of the gospel. And in verse 27, he speaks at the end of it, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we have the fellowship in the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, and this unity of the faith of the gospel. And to me, it's a tremendous thing And one of the real joys we've had, we've been in the States now, or in North America for the past 6 weeks. We've traveled about 4,700 miles while we've been here visiting family and friends and various assemblies and sharing what the Lord has been doing. It has been a real joy for us. We have met in a number of assemblies. We have met Christians. We have made new friends. We've been welcomed and received. We have slept in the homes of people that we've never met before. And we have enjoyed such fellowship together as we have traveled around. And to me, it's one of the great joys of being part of the family of God, that we can have these things in common together with other people. And Paul, as we said, is in prison at this time. He is struggling. He's feeling the pressure of being in that situation. And yet, as he is writing, one of the primary purposes for which he is writing is to thank them for gifts that they had sent to him. And he is thanking them for the fellowship that they are having together. And that word fellowship is the idea of partnering together with, sharing together with others. And it's wonderful to be able to see people partnering together. Many of you have never met Beth and I before, but this assembly has been partnering with us in the work in which we have been involved in Ireland. And we're thankful for your prayers and for the financial support that you have given to us. We have teams that come and spend time with us during the summer, and they are partnering together with us in the work there. And for us as a local assembly there in Waterford, we are partnering together. We are seeking to come together with the various gifts and abilities that God has given to us to seek to make Christ known in the community in which we are living. And so we are thankful for this and the importance of the fellowship, the sharing together, working together because of the common goal and vision that we have of seeing Christ glorified and the gospel preached and his name made known. And then Paul goes on in the second section of the chapter where he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing, and again, it's one of the key notes of the book of Philippians. Paul is rejoicing, but he's rejoicing even when people are preaching the gospel for the wrong reason. And I think one of the things that often is a great hindrance to the unity that Christ desires for us to have is that we have disagreements with each other about the way things should be done. And again, it's just been interesting as we've traveled around and visited various assemblies, all quite similar and yet quite distinct, quite different in the way that we do things. We would have fellowship in Waterford with some of the other local churches there that they would do things differently, but they are brothers and sisters in Christ and we're able to enjoy unity together with them. But one of the great dangers is that if we focus only on the differences that we have, then we want to criticize each other. We want to break apart from each other. We don't want to have anything to do with each other. And actually, the end of the chapter, Paul is really calling for this in verse 27, where he says, "Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And he goes on to speak about that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so it's as we come together and recognize, yes, we are different. And we'll show you a little bit about some of the folks in our assembly. We are a very diverse congregation of believers who gather there. And yet we come together, united together because of Jesus Christ. Earlier this morning on the table in front of us, there was a loaf, a single loaf that speaks there of the unity of the body of Christ and that we partake of that one body. We are members of that one body. And so the problem is that we have to continue to strive together to maintain that unity that has been accomplished by the Spirit. The unity that we have as Christians is because we have been baptized by the Lord Jesus into one Spirit, joined together into the body of Christ. We're made one as a result of that work of Jesus Christ. The problem is we can, by our actions and by our attitudes, we can mar and break that unity that God desires for us. And so we have to strive together. And as you go into the beginning of chapter 2, which we're not going to have time to do, but he's striving with them, and he points out that one of the great causes of some of our disunity is that we think too highly of ourselves and that we think that we're better than other people. And so he sets before us the example of Jesus Christ as one who we should emulate and take that lowly attitude that the Lord Jesus had. So it's very difficult after saying all of that to talk about ourselves. But I think you do want to know a little bit about what we have been involved in as we're there in Ireland. Our family is there. Our two girls, again, I think A friend of ours was telling us they were visiting in another chapel in North Jersey, and I think they had our original prayer card from 17 years ago, and our girls were quite small in those pictures. They're now 25 and 23, both still living at home. We're glad to have them with us. Ireland has gone through some tumultuous changes over the last number of years. They went from being a relatively poor country that joined the European Union, went through a huge economic boom and then a huge economic crash, now slowly coming out of that. That made it very difficult for our girls in finding work when they finished their schooling, but we're thankful that they are both working at the moment. The other big change that probably all of you have heard is the social revolution that is going on in Ireland. 25 years ago, homosexuality would have ended you in prison. Now it is being celebrated on the streets of Ireland and has been included into the constitution that gay marriage is part of that. And with a country that is nominally still 98% Catholic, that is a very surprising outcome from the referendum that was taking place. We have been, as I say, there's 17 years now in Ireland. We have seen a lot of changes take place during that time, and yet by God's grace, we believe that there are still great opportunities there for us to be sharing the gospel. Now let's see, probably easiest to do this with the arrow keys, is it? Yeah. Okay. So let me kind of run through these slides with you and just tell you a little bit about what we are and have been involved in. Beth and I both had the privilege of being raised in Christian families. We came to know the Lord Jesus while we were still very young. We were commended by our assembly in Belmar, New Jersey in 1997 and left for Ireland in February of 98. The original plan was that we were going to Kilkenny to work with Mike and Anne-Marie Atwood, and we were there. Again, the plan was that we were going to go and help an existing assembly. Some of you may remember my grandfather, who was a pioneer missionary in Africa for 40 years, and I knew that I was not my grandfather. I did not see myself as being a pioneer. I thought if I could go along to an existing work and be of some help to them, I would be grateful for the opportunity to do that. And so we came to work with an existing assembly there, and it has been a real privilege for us to be part of that assembly. I think it was only after we left Kilkenny that we realized how much they had helped us, how much they had blessed us, how much they had taught us. And again, it's that fellowship, that synergy that takes place as we come together as believers. Most of them, I think I skipped the slide out because I think we're going to run out of time if I try to do everything. Kilkenny, as you can see, is a little bit higher up from where Waterford is. But the believers in Kilkenny are mostly first-generation Christians. Most of them have been saved out of a Roman Catholic background. They have a tremendous zeal for the gospel. They are faithful in sharing the gospel with people. To be at their prayer meeting during the week, they will be asking for prayer by name of people that they have shared the gospel with that week that they would like you to pray for, and they just are constantly looking for opportunities to be sharing the gospel. And so it's been wonderful to be a part of that and to see what God is doing there. But as we saw the assembly progressing and developing, we recognized that it was relatively easy for them still to say, well, David and Beth can do that. And so we decided, well, we needed to let them be stretched a little bit now. And so we began praying about where we could go. And not far from us is the city of Waterford, about 45 minutes south from where Kilkenny is the city of Waterford. Let me show you there. As I say, Waterford, just one correction. We live in Tremor, but the assembly is in Waterford, so we kind of feel it's a little bit of our escape that we get out. It's just about 10 minutes out, but we're loving being by the sea again. We missed that when we were in Kilkenny, but it's lovely to be down there. And Waterford is quite an old city by American standards. It was founded in 914 AD by the Vikings, so they've just celebrated their 1100th anniversary. It is Ireland's fifth largest city, which isn't so impressive when you think it's only 45,000 people, but it's twice the size that Kilkenny was. And at the time when we first came there and began to do outreach in 2002, there were only two other evangelical churches in the town, a Baptist church with a 300-year history and then a Pentecostal church that was there. Since that time, there's four other churches in addition to our assembly that have been planted, and so we see that there is certainly a burden for Waterford and people moving in with a desire to see things established there. Most of those churches are still small and struggling, but again, we're thankful for the fellowship that we have with them. I would meet together with some of the leaders of these churches several times a year to pray and to find out what they're involved in, and it's been a real encouragement for us to be able to do that. So we still see that there is a tremendous need there in Waterford. The assembly, as I say, the outreach commenced there in the summer of 2002. And again, it was seeing this need that was there, not only a need for us to move from Kilkenny, but also seeing that there was a need there in Waterford, a large town with only two small evangelical churches in it at that time. And so we went down, we took some of the teams that came, a team from North America, first of all, and then a team from Northern Ireland. And again, they've been a tremendous help to us coming down from Northern Ireland. It's obviously a lot easier and cheaper for them to travel from Northern Ireland down to the south to be able to do outreach. You don't have to worry about plane fares and all of those kinds of things. So we're thankful for that and for the bridges that have been built with the folks up there as well. In the autumn of 2003, one of the guys who was on one of those teams from Northern Ireland in 2002 was commended by his assembly in Northern Ireland to come down and to help us. And later that year, 2004, Tim and Linda Hood from British Columbia, they had been in Western Ireland for a number of years. We heard they were praying about making a move, and we knew that Tim was an evangelist, and we knew that we needed the help of an evangelist. So we asked Tim and Linda to pray about coming and joining us, and they came in 2004 to help with evangelism. And Tim, I don't know if any of you have come across Tim before. Tim loves to do street preaching. He loves to do open air. I find all of that very difficult. Open air preaching I don't do. I've tried, and I cannot do it. Tract distribution I find hard to do. I'm happier doing doors, still hard, and still need God's grace to do it. But we try and do whatever we can to get the gospel out there. But Tim was very much a gospel preacher and was tremendous to have his evangelistic gift combined with my more teaching and pastoral gift to be able to work together in fellowship and again making up for what each other lacked and to be able to see that fellowship in the gospel together. We began breaking bread in February of 2006, so we're 9 years now that we've been meeting as a church there in Waterford. But then in 2008, Matt left with the view to see something started in another town. The Hoods returned to Canada in 2008. Currently, there would be about 21 that we have in fellowship, maybe 40 who would be there on a Sunday morning, including all of the children. But it's just been a real joy to be there. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of the families that we have in there just to show you something of the cultural diversity that we have. And again, 20 years ago, you would never have seen this in Ireland. 20 years ago in Ireland, they probably had never seen a black person before. And so there has been this huge social revolution. Part of that was fueled by the economic growth, that as Ireland began to grow and there was job opportunities, Ireland is very generous in terms of its social benefits. And so there was a great number of people who were coming to Ireland because they saw this as the new land of opportunity to go to. But it has been tremendous for us to be able to meet all of these folks. So I'll just tell you about a few of them here. This is Wayne and Cara. They're a South African couple. They both have really strong South African accents. Wayne was raised in a Christian family, rebelled against it as a teenager, ended up marrying Cara, who is not a believer, and then they started to have some difficulties in their marriage. She went to talk to his mom, and his mom led her to the Lord. And that was about 6 months before they moved to Ireland. And then Wayne, just before they moved, he says he's not sure if he was restored from a backslidden position or actually saved at that point. But basically, they both came as eager young Christians. And it was such a delight. They came into a new assembly because they arrived about a month or two after we began. We were all in the excitement of a new work that we were involved in there. They came as excited new believers to join in that. And it just was a great place for them to flourish. They weren't actually supposed to come to Waterford. The plan was for them to be in the city of Cork, another hour and a half south from where we are. Wayne has Irish roots, and so he has an uncle that lives in Cork, and he has an aunt who lives in Tramore, actually, where we are. And the uncle in Cork was away, so they came to Tramore instead. And so they were put in contact with the assembly, and they decided that they liked the area, and they decided to stay. And we're so thankful, because Wayne has been one who really has shared the leadership responsibilities after Tim and Matt have left. And it's just been wonderful to see him grow. One of the real joys that we have had in the group that we have had there in Waterford particularly is men who have a desire to study God's Word. They want to know God's Word. They want to share God's Word. They're not content just to be passive observers sitting in a pew. That they're people who are keen to get involved. I know some of the other little assemblies around Ireland have really struggled with not seeing men saved, and so they're struggling to try and move a work forward where there's just a few ladies who are there. So we have been fortunate to have these men that we can invest in, and we get books to them, and we study together, and we talk together. And one of the things, just wasn't in my plan to speak of this, but I know one of the things that we have really enjoyed, again, when we think of fellowship, sometimes I think we think about having a cup of coffee. And sometimes fellowship happens while we're having coffee, but having a cup of coffee with someone is not necessarily fellowship. Again, if we think that fellowship is the idea of partnering together, working together towards a common goal, it's what we talk about that makes the difference of whether we're actually having fellowship. And so we have such good conversations between meetings while over a cup of coffee talking about books that we've been reading or questions that have come up in things that they have been studying, or people talking about opportunities that they've had to share the gospel or problems that they've been having to be able to share those problems together and pray together. It's been a wonderful thing for us to enjoy that together. So Wayne and Cara have been a big part of all of that. Beth used to mind these children from the time they were about 6 weeks old. Cara was working at that time, and so they had asked whether Beth would help them out by watching the kids, and it has been one of those great opportunities for Beth to be able to be investing in the lives of the children, but also in the mothers, spending time with them, talking with them, and just sharing things together. So that's been a good opportunity for Beth to be involved with that. This is a Nigerian family who are with us. Ohi, the husband, would have been saved while they were still living in Nigeria. He heard the gospel. I don't have time to tell you his story, but he basically overheard the gospel over the wall in a neighbor, and he didn't want to hear anything about it, and he had met some Christians and didn't want to have anything to do with them. But he came to faith in Christ, got involved in a charismatic church in Nigeria, and charismatic churches in Nigeria are some of them are pretty wild. I don't know if I've seen some documentaries on some of what's happening in some of those churches, and it's pretty scary to me, so I'll say that. And he realized that this what he was seeing was not what he was seeing in Scripture. And he was put in contact with some Christians who began sending him tapes and books, and he, with his dad and his brother, they began studying the Scriptures together, just in a little house church, basically, that they were meeting there in Nigeria. And then when they came to Ireland, again, he just was very nervous about getting involved in any of these churches, but received one of our calendars through the door. And on the back of it, we had a number of evangelistic booklets that were offered. Several of them were by Blanchard. Can't remember his first name at the moment. John Blanchard. And he has these little evangelistic booklets, little apologetic booklets, which are great. Ultimate Questions, probably the best known of them. But we had a number of these. But he was very careful, and he went up and he researched on the internet who John Blanchard was to find out if this guy was sound. And he came along very cautiously and has just been a tremendous help to us. Because of all of his study that he had done on his own, well-grounded in Scripture, theologically aware of things, and has been a real steadying influence. He has a wonderful way just of communicating very quietly, which again has not been my experience of a lot of the Nigerian people that we have met, who tend to be very loud. He would be very quiet, very calm, very gentle, and would just speak with real clarity. Always concerned about his accent, that people will have difficulty understanding him because they're Irish. But he speaks slowly and clearly and much slower than I do. It has been a tremendous help to us. This is another Nigerian family who are with us. Bayo is a doctor. We're not quite sure what their future is going to be with us. He's actually taken a job back in Nigeria, working as a doctor at a teaching hospital over there and lecturing as well. And so it looks like they probably will be leaving us in the near future. But their son, Precious, the boy next to the father, his name is Precious. The names get a little confusing because it's Promise, Precious, and Praise are the three children, and I sometimes get them mixed up. I get my own daughters mixed up, but this is even more difficult. But Precious is a precious young boy, 14 years old, a real heart for the Lord, fearless in witnessing for Christ in the school, and very often at our prayer meetings, at the Lord's Supper, he will take part with a hymn or a prayer, and we just are so encouraged to see the growth in him. And his dad is again, for one who is a doctor and a lecturer, is not eloquent in the meetings of the assembly, and would think himself to be not very well versed in Scripture. But the father is just so delighted that he found the assembly and the teaching that his family has received. They had previously attended one of these African churches in Waterford, and he said that in the couple of years that they've been with us, they learned so much more than they did in all of the other time because of the focus that we have just on teaching the Word of God. Faith and Roland are a Kenyan family who are with us. Roland also works in the hospital, and they've been several assemblies up in Dublin while he was studying, and then had gone back to Kenya. Now they've come back for work, and they've just been a tremendous blessing to us as well. Beth has been minding her children while she's been doing a master's at the local college, and again, that has given us great time to be able to get to know them a little bit better and spend time with them. And again, Roland would grew up in an assembly in Nairobi and would have a good grasp of the Scriptures. Faith is just full of enthusiasm and bubbly person, and again, they've just been a tremendous help to us as well. This is a Romanian family that is with us. The husband wasn't there the day I was taking the pictures. Daniela has a real heart for the Lord, a real servant's heart to help people, and that has been such an encouragement to us as well. Daniel has struggled spiritually, up and down, and we've gone through periods where I would try and spend a lot of time with Daniel because he needs Christian friendship. There aren't a lot of Christians in Waterford, and so we would try and get together just for coffee or to play tennis or to go for a bike ride or just something. And I would usually leave it to him to bring up spiritual things, and he very often does. And we just have seen him growing. He has really benefited from the ministry of John Lennox. He gets onto YouTube and listens to John Lennox's debates with atheists, and those are some of the things that he had struggled with, the problem of suffering and evil in the world, and listening to that, he says he has difficulty understanding all of it, but he listens to it over and over and over again. Daniela says that it's like having John Lennox living in their house because he's always talking there, but it's great to see again this desire that he has to know more about Scripture and to find answers to the questions that he has, and so we're very thankful for having them as well. Attila and Julia are a Hungarian couple who joined us last year. They had been both saved while they were still I say they're Hungarian. They lived in the Hungarian-speaking part of Romania. So that when they came over, they were already believers and had been attending another church, but joined us last year. And again, it's been a real joy to have them with us. It's actually kind of unusual for me. A number of these men now tower over me, and I'm not used to that. I'm not used to looking up to other men, but it's great to have, and we just are so thankful for these men and for their families. This is an Irish family, and I'm so glad you showed that poster in the train station, because when Des was a teenager, he saw one of those. His brother's friend saw one of those posters. And as a joke, wrote away for the Bible study that it offers to be sent to Des's older brother, who had a good laugh about it when it came, and Des picked it up and read it and would say that he got saved at that time. Some of you might know Penny DeFau in the missionary handbook. Penny is involved in that scripture text poster ministry, along with some others. And it's just as so often in that kind of a ministry, I know so much in a lot of the outreach that we do, and I think certainly in ministries like that with scripture text posters, you wonder whether anything is actually happening with them. You sow the seed in faith, and you wonder and you pray for God to give the increase, but very often you're not seeing it. They were delighted when I was able to tell them that Des had gotten saved as a result of that. Now, he didn't grow because he had no church fellowship. He didn't know any other Christians. So he would say that he got saved at that time, but was not fellowshipping anywhere. And then his wife, Donna, was working. Working in a nursing home as an aide, and another Indian lady in the home started sharing the gospel with her, invited her along to a Bible study, and as a result of that, she got saved, and Des started coming along. And Des also would just have a real desire to know God's word. Again, the only ones in their families that are saved, they have an opportunity to share with others. But we're just very thankful to have that. And Des is one, again, that I see real potential, that if we invest in him and feed him the right materials and give him teaching, that he just has that capacity to grow and to be used of God. And so we're very thankful for men like that we can invest in. Barry is another Irish believer, and Des and Barry are both taller than me as well. Barry would have gotten saved probably 5 years ago. One of his best friends got saved about 20 years ago, and then they kind of lost contact. But Barry said that he remembers at that time someone who had been sharing creation videos. And he had watched these videos. His friend was concerned that he was getting messed up in things. He watched them and he got saved as a result of it. But Barry said although he was convinced that God was the creator, he just really didn't have time for God in his life at all. And so for the next 20 years, he enjoyed his life, was living in London, and was quite a heavy drinker. Barry is one of 15 children, and the youngest of 15 children, and he would say that many of his brothers and sisters are alcoholics, and it's one of the huge problems that we do face in Ireland. There is this tremendous pressure for people to drink. There was another guy who was with us for a while who left to go to another church, and one of the things he said that he... first time he tasted alcohol, he hated it, but he forced himself to drink it because everyone else was doing it, and it took him 20 years to finally let that go. And it just is one of those things that gets a tremendous hold in people's lives, and we have seen just tremendous danger and damage done through alcohol over there. But we're thankful for Barry. He, again, was saved in another church. He contacted his friend after he got saved, and they spent a lot of time talking on the phone together. His friend was going to an assembly in London, and his friend put him in contact with us. And he said what impressed him most when he came in that first Sunday morning. We were actually in the States when he arrived the first time. But he said he was just so impressed by the sense of reverence that he experienced as he came in. And the attention that was given to the Word of God and to the exalted place that was given to the Lord Jesus. And he just realized that he had found his spiritual home. And so we've been very thankful for him. He has, again, a real desire to witness. And again, he's convinced by his friend over in London that the proper way to do evangelism is to do open-air preaching. I've tried to tell him there's lots of other ways that we can do it as well. But Barry likes to get out there and try to do that, and so we try and go and support him. But as I say, it's not something that I'm able to do. This is the community room that we have been meeting in since 2006, where we have all of our meetings there. And it just to let you know, it was not a negative thing that we were thrown out of the room or anything like that. It was economic considerations. The building is actually in a little shopping center, and the shopping center from its inception, I guess, has used three rooms in this building as community rooms that can be rented out for whatever Weight Watchers meets there and yoga groups and Pilates and all of that. And so we would just rent it by the hour for the times that we need it. And I guess they decided that the time had come that they wanted to change two of those rooms into a retail unit that they can probably make much better money on than they can using it as a community room. So they have decided that as of July 1st, those two front rooms will no longer be available. The back room, which we use for Sunday school, will still be available to us. So we have kind of a two-week window when we get back from the States to try and find a room. I doubt we're going to do that, so we have already spoken to them, and they said that we can continue to meet in the back room until we find something more suitable. And I guess what I have felt and what I have been telling people is that for a long time I thought, it wouldn't it be great to have a building of our own, a place that people could identify us with, that we could use whenever we want, a place where we could store everything so we don't have to transport it every Sunday morning, every Thursday night to be there, but perhaps lacked, I know I lacked, the faith and the courage to step out and say, let's do this. And we feel that the Lord has just given us a little nudge now and said, it's time to get out of your comfortable little nest and to go out and find a place. And so we really are at peace, trusting that the Lord has a better place for us. We just don't know where that is yet. But we're trusting that the Lord will lead us to the place where He would have us to be. I guess part of the struggle that we're wrestling through is whether to have that in a residential area where it would be easily accessible by people, or to have it in a business area that would be more visible to a lot of people. So we're just weighing up and trusting that the Lord will lead us to the right place as well. I said earlier that we have been very much helped by teams coming to help us. Ron Hampton from Canada, he was a missionary in Ireland for a number of years. He used to run what were called TNT teams. They now go by E-teams. And the E comes from the idea that they say that their mission is enabling and equipping Christians to effectively cross cultures, encourage the church, and evangelize in English. And so we're very thankful for Ron and his desire and ability to recruit people to come and help us. We have always felt that the teams have been a two-way blessing. That the people who when they come, they're a tremendous help to us. There's a lot of work that is accomplished while they're with us, a lot of extra hands on deck. One of the other things, too, that I often feel is that if we have a team of 10 people representing 10 different assemblies, I know that there's 10 different assemblies back in the States who are praying for us while their team members are there. And it creates a greater awareness of the need in that area. So we're always thankful for that fellowship in that way as well. But I know that the people who come on teams are blessed by them as well. We particularly have seen this from Northern Ireland. Some of the folks who have been down to help us on teams from Northern Ireland have been in assemblies where they've not been given a lot of opportunity to do things up home. And they've come down to us, and we're small and we're relaxed, and we let people make mistakes, and we give them opportunities to try things. And so these young people come down, and they find their voice, and they find that they can do things for God, and they get out there, and it has been, particularly for many of those young people from Northern Ireland, it has changed their lives. I have had men from up there, when I was speaking to them, thanking them for the impact that the teams have had on their grandchildren who have come down to serve on teams. And so we're just very thankful for the fellowship of these teams. This is the city center, and again, it is a great place for doing evangelism. It's just kind of a place where people naturally congregate. Again, Tim would always have done that kind of open-air preaching with sketchboard or else just with verses that he would put up and be able to preach from that. I can't do that. I've tried. I'm not built the right way for that. But we're thankful for those who are able to do that kind of ministry. But it is the kind of place where you can just go. You can hand out tracts. You can just go up to people and try and enter into conversations with them in a more casual kind of a way, just handing out tracts quietly. And so we try to do that. One of our goals when we get back, we've talked about it for a long time and we need to do it now this summer. When we've had teams, we've done literature tables. And we really think it would be a great thing to have a literature table there every week. Just because it's a less confrontational approach, which I'm not good at. But if we can just set up a stand there and have literature that people can come to us and ask us questions, we know that it'll happen. And I think, again, particularly we find that if we're doing door-to-door work, usually it's adults that we are speaking. If a child or a teenager comes to the door, we ask if the parents are home. That actually got us in trouble one time. Tim and I were knocking on a door, and this 12-year-old boy came to the door and we said, you know, are your mom and dad home? And he said, no. So Tim just launched into sharing the gospel with him. And after a few minutes, his older sister was upstairs. She had been listening to the whole thing. She came storming down the stairs and says, "You first of all, you make sure his parents aren't home, and then you're trying to convert him." And we're like, well, that wasn't actually our purpose, but we understand how that could be misunderstood in that way. But usually on the doors, it is adults that we would be speaking to, the owners of the home that we would seek to talk to. Whereas in the street, usually it's the young people who will come up. Young people who will come up to interact, many times to mock or to make fun or to show us how stupid we are and how clever they are. And many of them just have never thought or have never come across people who have answers to the questions that they're asking. And many of them have been taught evolution in the schools. We had one girl who told us that her religion teacher told her that there is no God, which makes it very difficult when your religion teacher in a Catholic school is telling you that. But, you know, we've been able to talk with people and to share scripture with them, share arguments with them for the existence of God and the reliability of scripture. And I think many of them have gone away with something to think about. Again, you're planting seeds and trusting that God will give the increase. Ron will be bringing a team in July into August. That'll be with us in Waterford. So if anybody is still looking for some opportunity for something to do in July, we'd be glad to have you come with us. We do two big distributions in Waterford every year, literature distributions. We try and cover the town. We've had to narrow down the numbers a little bit because a lot of people are putting signs on their door saying they don't want any junk mail. But for the most part, we still have a freedom over there that we can just put things through people's letterboxes. And so we have two big distributions through the year. During the summer, there's an evangelistic magazine that's produced in Ireland. And we, for the last couple of years, have been getting about 12,000 copies of those. And so we just go out and distribute those, just popping them through doors. And so that'll be one of the things that the team will be involved with in the mornings while they're with us. And so we're looking forward to that. Last year we had some challenges because of some controversial issues that were in the magazine, but I think that the magazine that we have for this year will be a tremendous blessing. We're expecting it to be delivered any day now, and so that'll be one of our big projects that we'll be getting into as soon as we get back, is beginning that, and then when the team comes, they'll continue helping us with that as well. The other big distribution that we do every year is calendars. And as I told you before, OHI came as a result of getting one of those calendars through the door. And again, we're just thankful for it. It's a 16-page calendar. The inside covers have gospel messages. And then every month has a picture of Ireland with a scripture text up on it as well. And so the Word of God is being displayed in people's homes. We used to do 15,000 copies. We cut down to 10,000 copies, and people started calling us saying, "Where's my calendar?" Which was a tremendous delight to us, that they were expecting it. They were looking forward to it coming. There was one lady that it was that last year, probably about October or November time. I think I was out. We have a monthly Sunday night gospel outreach that we have, and we were just handing out invitations for that. And I came up to this one house, and this lady was out in the front doing some gardening. And as I walked up, she said, "David Wilson." And I'm like, "Oh," and then I remember that I had spoken to someone there. I was surprised that she knew me. But we stood and talked for about an hour, and she says she has every one of our calendars. She's never thrown them away. She keeps them from year to year, and she loves the scriptures. We talked for an hour about the scriptures. She still is faithfully going to the Catholic Church. She's a retired lady who has MS, but she has a real love for the Lord and a love for His Word. Could well be a believer, but we're thankful for the open door that we have with her, and we're looking forward to getting back with her when we get back as well. Just another similar type of story. There was one house that we were distributing, and when I came up, I could see that the lady was cleaning out the inside of her car, vacuuming the car. And so I came up and said, "Oh, we're just handing out this free magazine." And she took it, and she turned it over, and she saw the label on the back with Waterford Christian Assembly and my name and the phone number. And she says, "This used to say David and Beth. What happened to Beth?" Because it just said David Wilson on it. And I thought, here's a lady that I don't know, but she is taking that much notice of something that she knows who it is that's on this. So again, we're not seeing always the immediate results, but we know that people are reading that. And so we would view the work in Ireland as being a slow, long-term process, that we just need to keep sowing seeds and trusting that God is going to give the increase, and we don't know what he's already done or what he will do. One of the other opportunities that we have is that there's a free newspaper that's delivered to all of the homes in town as well. So there's 27,000 copies that go out every week. And for the last 6 years, we have been allowed to put a free article in that, 350 words, 370 words, just presenting the gospel. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been putting in articles just on the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. I've been going through some of the questions in the Bible where God says, Adam, where are you? And Cain, are you... am I my brother's keeper? And just kind of working through those and seeking to present a biblical worldview and sharing the gospel through that. So I kind of figure it's like 27,000 tracts that go out every week through the newspaper. Whether or not people read them, we don't know. Not a lot of response coming back in any way, but the word of God is going out there, and we're trusting that God will bless his word. So we're thankful for your fellowship with us in the gospel. Thank you for an opportunity to be with you. This is Reginald's Tower down in the center of Waterford. This is part of what they call the Viking Triangle. As I said, they've just celebrated their 1100th anniversary. And so there's just on the other side of that now, they have this reproduction of a Viking boat that they have there. And they have one of these cutouts of a Viking that you can stick your face through and have your picture taken as a Viking. But it's a beautiful town. We've enjoyed being there. We're thankful for the opportunities that God has given us to be there. And just the fellowship that we have enjoyed amongst the believers there has been wonderful. Again, to be able to see people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation gathering together. Let me just say this quickly as well. Some of you know my father and my grandfather were both missionaries in Africa, and a lot of people assumed that when I went to the mission field that I would go to Africa, and I didn't feel that was the place that the Lord would have me go. So we go to Ireland, and we get a church full of Africans there in Ireland. So God works in mysterious ways, but we're thankful to be part of that ministry, and thankful for your partnership in it as well. So let's close in prayer. Let's just pray. Father, we are thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful that there is one who loved us and gave himself for us, that he left the glories of heaven to come down to this world that had rebelled against him, that hated him, and that he came down out of love, motivated with a desire to reach this lost world, to seek and to save that which was lost. But Father, we know that as people saw him, they despised him, they rejected him. And they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But Father, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus was willing to go there to the cross and to suffer and die to make a way possible for us to come and to know him as our Savior. Father, we thank you for everyone in this room who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, who has trusted in him alone for their salvation. And Father, again, as a visitor here today, I don't know all of the faces here. I don't know their hearts. I don't know where they stand before you. But we do pray that if there are any who are here today who have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they would consider their eternal souls, their eternal destiny, and that they would be sure that they are trusting in Christ alone for their salvation. But Father, we thank you too for this assembly and for their interest in missions and their desire to pray for and to support those who are serving you in other lands. And we thank you for their fellowship in the gospel. And Father, we pray that you will just continue to bless their efforts and to multiply their efforts. And Father, we would pray for the land of Ireland and just ask, Father, that you would continue to work there. It is a land going through change, and there are people who are desperately in need of the gospel, people who are aware of the cross, and yet many of them don't know why Jesus died. And Father, we just pray that they would come to understand just the great love that Jesus had for them and how through his death he has made salvation possible. So Father, continue to bless your word and to bless your work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.